This is the Mind and Fitness Podcast. I am your host, Eddie Lindenstein, and it is Wednesday, October the 31st. Happy Halloween, and thanks so much for joining me on today's episode. My family and I, we got back from San Diego, beautiful San Diego, California, last weekend. It was a great trip with the family, and a lot of things went really, really well, and I got a nice, good... You know, I feel like it was one of the first vacations. It's been a long time since I've gone on a vacation and literally didn't have a thought about work. I just didn't really give it much energy. I think I might have maybe spent 3 mental minutes on work, which was kind of nice to have that full step away to be able to do that kind of thing. So we went to Legoland. We went to the San Diego Zoo. We did a ton, squeezed into those few days. Weather was great the whole time, so can't argue with that, obviously. So today's episode I thought would be apropos. I'm going to talk about a few things, but the main topic and kind of the main theme is going to be around this idea of fear. There's been some talk on a couple of Facebook groups recently about fear, and it's such a big part of the problem and such a big part of what TMS and what chronic pain and what anxiety and all these things really are a part of is fear. And it's Halloween, so why not talk about fear? But I wanted to actually start with, so the show, The View, which my wife loves, and actually I admittedly like it quite a bit as well, but we watch it together almost every day on DVR. And Jonah Hill was a recent guest on that. So Jonah Hill, the guy that was in Wolf of Wall Street, and he was in Superbad, but he was talking about, he wrote this, I think it was like an op-ed recently about his struggles and his challenges with being overweight as a teenager and how much that really affected him later on in life. And it just so hit home for me because as a teenager, I was very overweight and I got teased pretty bad. I mean, even before really being a teenager, I'd say probably from the time that I was maybe 10 or 11 all the way up until I was 15 is when the kids kind of stopped making fun of you. But I feel like that time, 13 years old or 12 years old, 13 years old, 14 years old is sort of when it becomes the worst. And I remember one of the last few days talking to my psychologist before he had retired earlier this year. And he had said that he felt like the root of a lot of the reasons why I developed chronic pain or anxiety or back pain or whatever it was in the first place was around kind of going back and sort of almost like subconsciously always reliving these points from when I was a little kid. And it's, you know, it sucks. Like when you're a little kid and you get made fun of a lot and I'm not doing a pity party for myself, but kind of where I can sort of look back and reflect on that is in my life when I've been really, really successful at things, you know, nobody really can stop me. And that kid that was being made fun of as an adolescent, really, you know, he's not exposed because it's somebody that is having a lot of success and you know, making a lot of money and doing that kind of thing. And then if that success stops or pauses, or you don't perform as well as you would have hoped at work, or you know, you're not living up to your own expectations. And in my case, when all these pain issues got really, really bad, it was like I was trying to recover from shoulder surgery. I wasn't performing as well at work for a variety of different reasons. And, you know, no longer was I couldn't be invisible anymore. And I think that as a little kid, when you walk into a room and people automatically comment about your weight or your clothes or whatever, and, you know, you're the opposite of invisible. You feel like everybody's got a magnifying glass on you at all times. And I remember just going home just feeling terrible when I was a little kid sometimes. I remember one time I was out to dinner with my family and I really was acting out, like being a real piece of shit to my parents, my dad mostly. You know, I was just being short and I was just having a bad attitude. And he took me outside and he said, you know, what's your problem? I was maybe like 12 years old at this time. 11, 12, 13, something like that. And he asked me, what's your problem? Like, why are you acting the way that you're acting? And I, you know, at first I'm like, well, I'm mad at you. I'm mad at this. And then eventually I just stopped. And I remember I just told him how upset I was because there was this kid that was really, like, really making life a living hell. Like, I didn't even want to go to school. You know, it'd be a few weeks in a row every single day, making comments or giving me dead legs, like where your friends walk over, not even your friends, people that you don't like walking up to you and kneeing you in your IT band, or kneeing you in the hip or kneeing you in the hamstring or something like that. you know, basically like give you a spasm. And I just remember like just being so upset and just telling him how upset that made me and how angry it made me. And like, it took a while to coerce that out of me. And like, this wasn't even something that I had thought about up until just a few days ago, like this one particular moment. But I think that again, like, it's this fear. And so what Jonah Hill was talking about in this piece is that he wishes that as an adult, he would have just been kinder to himself. And one of the last days with my psychologist, he had said, you know, if you start to have some pain or you start to have some issues, think back to that 12 or 13 or 14 year old kid that was getting made fun of for being fat, and just, you know, put your arm around him and just tell him it's going to be okay. And it's such a true, raw feeling, because as kids we're so vulnerable, whether it be to our parents to treat us poorly, or to siblings, or to crushes that we had, or to people that are making fun of us for our weight, things like that. You know, kids are just, we're so impressionable all the time. And I think that I completely agree. I think that I wish that as an adult I were just kinder to myself, because again, all I really want to just be is invisible to those kids that are making fun of me when I was a little kid. And as a successful adult, a successful entrepreneurial, money-making businessman, I can be invisible to the world, and people can't make fun of me, right? However, if I lose that level of invisibility, I also lose my level of invincibility. And so, you know, it becomes really, really hard. And then I have to deal with things. And for me, dealing with pain was my thing. But I'll tell you what, jumping into the fear part of this, chronic pain is so, its basis is so in fear. And it sounds so simple to say, but when you lose the fear, you lose the pain. And what I mean by that, somebody brought up something interesting that I read the other day, and it was another thing that I had struggled with, where I would wake up in the morning and I would be instantly in pain. It's like that second where you wake up that, you know, there might be 2 or 3 minutes where like you're kind of in a haze. And, you know, you check your phone, or you just lay there in silence, and then you get up and you get ready for your day. And most people don't think anything of it. But I remember for a year, close to a year, I would have those couple of minutes where I'd wake up and I felt good. And then I just dreaded it, because I knew as soon as I got up, everything was going to start hurting again. And that would be like from my lower back all the way up to my neck and into my hands and into my arms. And it's like, it's so exhausting going through that every single day. And people around you, like, there's really no empathy, because they can't live what it is that you're living. And so you just keep on going, and you have that cycle. It's like every day you're in pain, and then you have the fear, and then you're in pain, and then you have the fear. And like, fear is such a motivator. So what are you to be afraid of, though? If you know that there is not a structural abnormality that is causing your pain, 100% causing your pain, and I'm talking about like predictable symptoms, I'm talking about cancer, I'm talking about tumors, I'm talking about bad infections, things that shouldn't be chronic, because for the most part, you should be able to have some pretty simple testing done to determine if your chronic issue is something that really needs to be medically dealt with. And if it's anything else, whether it's muscle, nerve, tendon, ligament, tissue, any of this stuff, should be able to resolve itself from a pain perspective within 6 to 8 weeks. And anything beyond that, you're dealing probably with a nervous system issue. And so the nervous system is freaked out. It's that primitive side of your brain. It's the reptilian part of your brain. It's your subconscious mind. So there's a few different ways of looking at this. There are some people, and these are people that write books, people like Nicole Sachs, people like Dr. Sarno, things like that, that will say that it is your child brain, your subconscious brain needs to feel safe. And there's other people like Adam Heller, who I interviewed last week on the show, who says that you simply need to feel your emotions. However, all of these people have the exact same thought: feel your feelings. And by feeling your feelings and acknowledging your unconscious, whatever it is, and I think some people try and dig maybe too deep for this kind of stuff, when really it's just unconscious rage, unconscious anger is probably most of it. Grief and sadness maybe followed second, but anger and rage seems to be it. And what I've noticed, a huge recipe for me, is honestly just, you know, acknowledging. It's very similar to the way that Adam did in the episode last week, where, you know, I'm having a really good time in life. I'm sitting next to my dog, Barkley. He's a 2-time cancer survivor now. He had a second mast cell tumor removed just a few weeks ago. You know, I'm sitting here with my dog, and there's a part of me that wants to, just like Adam said, take my computer and throw it up against the wall, or throw it out over a fence or something like that. But I'm not going to let it ruin my minute or my month or my week or whatever it is, because now I'm in control and I've got nothing to be scared of. And I think that this is something that a lot of people listening out there that have chronic pain of any kind, chronic anxiety, there's an underlying fear there, and there's an underlying acknowledgement that you haven't made into chronic pain. And the other thing that I think people do a lot of times, they're trying to find like one principal moment that sparked emotion. For some people, it may be, there's a lot of stories in some of these books about people who were sexually assaulted as kids that need to come to terms with that and actually process it. But for people like Dan Buglio, and for people like me, and for I think a lot of people, Dr. Margaret Chan actually talked about this in an upcoming episode, but we were discussing the amount of people that have childhood trauma and chronic pain versus really not any childhood trauma and chronic pain. And overwhelmingly, it sounded like the people that were in pain because more of like present day issues or present day stressors. And so I think that that's one, I think that that's something that needs to be really, really thought out, is like, we can sit there and we can journal for a long time about things that happened to us in our childhood, you know, when the kids stole my organizer when I was 7 years old and all this kind of stuff. But, you know, in reality, it's like, I'm angry about this, angry about that, angry about a lot of things that are going on in my life today. And this is unconscious rage. I was laughing with my wife yesterday. She was getting mad at me about doing something. It was something stupid I did. I don't know. I pulled out a bag of, or I, one of the things I did on our trip was, there was a bag of frozen peas that I was making for Zoe. And I put that bag of frozen peas back into the freezer, but some frozen peas fell inside of the freezer and I didn't bother to do anything. And I closed the door and I turn around and Jenny's standing there looking at me with this look on her face like, I can't believe you just left those peas there. And I said something about, this is your conscious rage. And it's funny, right? Like, that's the conscious rage. And I'm kidding, of course. But it's the unconscious side of you, which, you know, we really have no control over. And there's a really great quote in the Michael Galinsky film All the Rage, where it talks about Dr. Arlene Feinblatt. She says, all we're talking about really is feelings. And the pain comes when we say, don't think about that, don't think that, don't think that, don't think that. Meaning, like, we can't be angry, we can't be enraged, because it's not a part of what we should be. But you need to quit shooting all over yourself, because there is no shoulds. Chronic pain is not fair. Your subconscious brain is not fair. So you're afraid of something. You're afraid of your pain. You're afraid to tell yourself that I am in fact angry about a lot of these things, and I could take this wall and I could punch a hole through it right now. It doesn't mean you have to. How you choose to express your emotions is up to you, but I don't even think that there needs to be an expression of any kind. And so I think that that's sort of the main point that we, you know, that I want to drive home with this. When people express anger, they do a variety of things. They yell at their kids, or they yell at their spouse, or they break things, or whatever the case is. And I'm going to raise my hand here. Like, I've been guilty of things that I absolutely like should not have done. There's a good example of, I've never spanked my kids, right? When we were on vacation last week, my older daughter was getting really ornery, and she kicked her sister, and her sister Audrey is 9 months old, right? So it's a defenseless little baby. She kicked her. I sort of gritted my teeth and said, okay, like, we'll just deal with this. Zoe, stop. And then Zoe hits her in the head with a book, and I got so upset. And I remember I grabbed her by the leg. I pulled her off the couch. I carried her into a room and I threw her down on her bed and said, I don't want you doing that to your sister. And I was so upset, right? That's the expression of anger, when the right thing to do probably would have been to acknowledge that this is really angering me and slow down for a second. If I would have picked up Audrey and carried Audrey into the other room, instead of picking up Zoe and throwing Zoe into the bed in the other room, I certainly would have been in a lot better feeling. And I remember, like, I went outside and I listened to a wrestling podcast for about 35 minutes. Zoe had gone to bed, and I went into her room and she looked at me like as if nothing had happened. She asked me how I was doing, and I went over and I gave her a hug, and I just started crying into her shoulder. And she asked me what was wrong, and I said I was very sad. And it's really tough in those situations to be able to explain like why you're sad, because I don't want her thinking about that forever. about, like, you know, her angry dad. I don't want her to hit her sister or hit her sister with a book or anything like that. But that's a perfect example of, like, the internal unconscious rage is like meeting a critical point, and it's at that point it's either express the anger the way that I did, deal with some kind of a muscle spasm or a health issue, which I've done that before. I've told the story on the podcast before, or acknowledge to myself that I am furious about some things in my life, and ultimately that reservoir of rage will drop down swiftly and substantially. So I feel like those are some good things to be able to take home for you as you listen to this, is ultimately, you know, just being able to step away, acknowledge to yourself in the deepest of ways, and you should be able to be on your way. And in recap and summary, I wrote something on my Instagram a couple of days ago about this, but at this point in time, even though it's been a long time since I found Dr. Sarno's books, and it feels like eons ago that I developed some pretty serious pain issues. You know, I've been taking daily asthma and allergy medication for 6 years, and I've not been able to tolerate eating dairy in 5 years at this point. And just in the last few months, not only at this point in time do I feel no pain, I'm eating dairy again. I had dairy almost every day last week on the vacation. I felt fine. I had macaroni and cheese yesterday. I had yogurt yesterday. These are all things, guys, that when I was afraid of them, and I would have a bite and I would anticipate the physical feeling that was going to accompany that, I suddenly would develop a lot of stomach problems. With asthma and allergies, before I would work out every time, I would take my inhaler, I'd take two puffs of my inhaler, and I would have my daily medications in the morning that are prescriptions, and I cut those off cold turkey 2.5 months ago. And in fact, when I took it 2.5 months ago, I was about a month removed from taking it prior to that. The reason I took it was out of fear, because I was going on a date with my wife and I wanted there to be no issues of asthma or allergies, nothing like that. It was a fear-driven thing. So if you do these helpful acts for yourself, whether it's relaxing, watching Netflix, doing whatever, if you do it out of fear, because something physical may happen to you, or you may have a symptom pop up, you're perpetuating the problem. If you're doing it out of self-love, that's a whole nother thing. But in my opinion, it didn't make sense to me why I suddenly would have developed asthma and allergy issues 6 months ago. It does, or 6 years ago. It doesn't make sense to me on why I would have developed dairy issues 5 years ago. And regardless of the quote unquote experts that you want to talk to, I don't believe anymore that things like leaky gut are as prominent as certain nutritionists or chiropractors would lead you to believe. I just don't buy it. And so I've been able to work out as hard as I ever have been. I'm stronger than I ever have been. I don't take any medication for asthma or allergies anymore. I live in the same place. Nothing has changed on that front. And then I'm eating dairy again, and it feels so great. And as of this moment, I don't have a iota of pain in my body. And being able to get rid of the anxiety and the fear around that is really what you need and where you need to go. Thank you so much for joining me. Again, this has been the Mind and Fitness Podcast.